Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, some from far and wide. We got Talmud here in Eretz Yisrael just last week. So welcome everybody. Today's share is entitled Shmur Matzah, the expensive ingredient of Shmira. Now, I did an unofficial survey. How much do you think a pound of matzah costs? A nice pound of matzah.
Hand matzah?
Hand matzah.
$32.
$32 is a pretty good price.
I'll
get to that.
That's what I paid,
$32. My hand matzah, which I get, the price is now up to $40 a pound. $40 a pound. 1 pound of matzah. Now, I think about it. In 1 pound of matzah, how many, we'll talk about shleimim or not, how many pieces of matzah are there in a pound?
Six to eight.
I would say, yeah, if you go 6 to 8, that means I'm paying over $5 per matzah. Right? You're generous. You have 8. You're paying $40. Right? That's $5 a matzah. And if you have less than 8, you're paying more than that. More than that, probably, for sure. That's quite a steep price. And, you know, somebody asked me, you know, what's the hot topic this year for Pesach? Matzah is always the hot topic every year for Pesach, because the price of matzah does go up. And, you know, there are factors. Ukraine is the breadbasket of the world. There's been some war going on there for the past while. Definitely affects things to some degree. And there's general inflation. And yeah, you never have a year that the price of lulavim and esrogim, matzah, goes down. It only goes up, one direction. So, okay. But in today's share, we look to explain what goes in, what's the expensive ingredients of matzah.
Labor.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw a thing. I actually was going to bring in the advertisement. Someone came up, the mass producing your own private matzah oven. Some Jewish culinary, you know, appliance place made a matzah oven. It says on it, L'shem Matzah Mitzvah. It's electric.
Yeah.
The whole thing of a matzah oven, it has to be crazy, crazy hot. Right? Not like anything we have. So, to be honest, I'm a little skeptical. The regular matzah ovens in the big bakeries are not electric, right? They have wood and they just burn. They're real old-fashioned ovens. This one is fake. It's electric. They have the wood pieces there, you know, but it's like the electronic fireplace, except this one's supposed to burn crazy hot. You know, they advertise, you know, for, and they have a picture of a chassidisha, looks like a rebbe over there, putting in his matzahs. Now, okay, if it's for a smaller matzah bakery, if one, you put in your house, you really have to know what you're doing with making matzahs. Otherwise, you could get into big trouble. In fact, I just asked somebody. I asked, you know, what does, you know, your father do, this rav do? He says, yeah, he doesn't bake matzahs. You know, he doesn't want that responsibility of making sure that everything gets right. It's a big deal. So matzah bakery is not really a sport for the average person just to get into. I wouldn't eat those matzahs so quickly. We'll talk about that.
Homemade matzah is not the
way to go. So you're going to have to go out and spend money and buy matzahs, okay? But really what I want to talk about today also will lead in. Okay, if you have to have shmur matzah, when do you have to have it? Someone made a comment to me, Rebbe, and I thought it was an interesting comparison. Is Shmur Matzah Chumra just like, you know, Chol Yisrael? Look, Chol Yisrael, quote unquote, right? Now, Chol Yisrael might be a Chiv too, is a Chiv too. I should say, words might. Right? You have to have your milk watched that by Jewish people, or to know that it's cow milk. There's a Chiv Shmira there. Well, see, soon there's a chiv shmira by your matzah. One has to watch their matzah. But we'll see for what matzah, how much watching has to be done. And that itself could make for an expensive ingredient. Now, you know, you'll find these other products. You'll see, sometimes you'll see 18-minute matzahs.
I've seen that.
Right? You see, you know, regular non-shmur matzah. We could talk about machine matzah versus handmade. These are all topics I want to talk about in this morning's share. Now, the first thing, right? So everyone knows, you know, a lot of people, if you ask them, why do you have shmur matzah? I don't know. I like the hand matzah, you know, better. Tastes better. I'm not sure shmur matzah should taste better than non-shmur matzah. Same. Right? The difference you might taste is a difference maybe between hand matzah and machine matzah or different companies. You know, every matzah bakery, I'm sure, tastes a little bit different. They make it, you know, some make it extra thin. Some people make it extra thick. And ask the dentist how well a business they do after Pesach. Yes. Just like in the Mitzrayim. So I would like, anyone has Mar Mekomos in front of them, I would like to first go to cut off some important lines. Here, I'll give you another scenario. Now, like many things Jewish, things can be moneymakers. Running a matzah bakery is a major moneymaker. I'll leave out the name, but one of the biggest matzah bakeries in New York, fortunately, the proprietor, the owner of the bakery, passed away. And there is a dispute amongst the kids who gets control of the matzah bakery. So much of a dispute that it spilled over, like they weren't up to baking matzahs this year, you know, to bake matzahs, you know, on the industrial level. You're talking about by Hanukkah time, you know, you're finished. Like, it really has to be way, way, way earlier in the year. Sometimes you taste that. But you have to start baking so much earlier. And disputes and hawks, they weren't able to put it together for this year. I heard it was resolved and they will have for next year. But this place serviced New York, serviced all the hotels. Very, very famous matzah bakery. Yeah, it definitely could be a lucrative business. The question is, okay, so how do you run a business? What type of workers do you hire? Do you have to hire Jewish workers, or can they be non-Jews? Those who are osik b'tzarchei tzibur, we appreciate it very much. Thank you. Right, l'shei matzas mitzvah is l'shma, and so do those who are osik b'tzarchei tzibur. Yes. But, so let me begin, while everyone tends to their needs, let me begin, this is Simon Tuf Samach, Sif Aleph. On your page, it's the first part of Tuf Samach. I skipped, the first line is on the other side. Ein lashin matzas mitzvah, v'lo ofen oso al dei einu Yehudi, the halacha says you shouldn't, we'll talk about the exactness, which stage of the production we're talking about. He says you shouldn't knead the matzahs with a guy or a cheresh, shota, and kata. So practically that means, and you'll find this, in kosher restaurants all across the world, you have Gentiles, you have nice Mexicans, nice, all different people working in Jewish establishments. And if Hashem Shat, you walk into a matzah bakery, you should not find non-Jewish workers. The halacha is that you can't knead the matzah with a cheresh shota v'katan, nor with a guy. which by definition, right, that means you can't have quote unquote cheap labor. Why can't you have these people do it? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, over there, Sivkot and Beis, important to know, here comes the matzah bakery owner. It says, Al yidei eino Yehudi, atam diksev v'shmartem es ha-matzos. The Torah writes, you should watch the matzah. Right? It's not a spectator sport. What does it mean you should watch the matzahs? U'mashmi zeh, the shmira sha'at m'shamra, this shmira that you're doing, shel techmatz, that it shouldn't become chametz, hitzchav l'shem matzah shel mitzvah, you have to have kavana, you have to have das, that it should be matzah mitzvah, v'nachri, the cherishot v'katan, labnei shimer ninu. They can't watch it. They can't have this das to do it l'shem mitzvah. V'eskimu harbe poskim, da'afil Yisrael omen al gabov. Even if you have a Jew there, umazhirim sheichanu l'shem matzos mitzvah. Even if they tell you l'shem matzos mitzvah, right? It's a joke. It's not, you know, it's hilarious. You sometimes see these workers. You have a nice Mexican worker in a restaurant in New York. He could speak Yiddish better than the most of the guys in my share from Miami. The Mexican working in New York, for sure in Williamsburg, but even in Borough Park, Flatbush, the Mexican workers know Yiddish quite well. They could speak it, but that doesn't help, right? You could have them screaming L'shem Matzos Mitzvah, and they scream L'shem Matzos Mitzvah. They could mimic the Hasidic Shigai telling it to them. It doesn't help. It's a das. You really have to understand what it means, L'shem Matzos Mitzvah. It's not just you repeat the words. So a Gentile would not be able to do those Poshim Shat, would not be able to do that. And the first opinion is even B'dievet. Even if you're stuck, you cannot use Gentile workers. V'yesh min aposkim, the Chavetz Chaim brings down, shemikimin ba'omen al-gabov, ma'zhiun she'ichavnu ba'siyos l'shem matzah. The azamrin and the daiti Yisrael kavet. And so there are some that are makel, if you're really stuck, right? Your community doesn't have matzah. You're not doing it for profit. Your community doesn't have matzah. The only way you could pull off is if you employ non-Jewish workers. So there is a tzad in halacha that one could use non-Jewish workers as long as a Jew is standing there constantly. Chavetz Chaim writes this later, constantly, not just one time, warning them, reminding them, L'shem Matzos Mitzvah, the Kasav HaBach, V'Magen Avram, the Yesh Lis Mechaleya, Kishi Yavshar Ben Yenacher. The Bach and the Magen Avram say that, you know what? This is reliable if you have no other way. So if your community doesn't have Matzah, you would be able to employ Gentiles and just have one Jew standing there while they're kneading it, while they're baking it, and scream L'shem Matzos Mitzvah. Okay. Now, really, this halacha that we just saw is by the what would normally will take place in the matzah bakery. The matzah bakery really is the end of the process. That's where you're kneading the dough, and that's where you're putting it in the oven. Those steps need to be l'shma, need to shmartem es ha-matzos. If you look in these next Shulchan Aruch I have down here, there's really two other major steps that also potentially need shmira. Those steps are hachitin sha'osim behem matzos mitzvah, the wheat which you're doing for matzos mitzvah. Tov l'shamalam shel yipalam mayim. It's good to watch them that water doesn't fall on them. Mishas ktsira, from the time that you harvest it, you cut it. Ulupachos mishas tchina, or at least from the time you start grinding that wheat into a fine flour. V'shas adchak motu likach kemach min hashok. And if you're stuck, the Mechaber already says then one would be allowed to purchase just plain, pure grain flour, and then do the later steps, Lishma.
So, not gold metal.
Right, not gold metal, right? But here's the four steps. Again, you have the harvesting, you have the grinding. Those two steps seemingly are done outside of the matzah bakery. Inside the matzah bakery, they're going to add the water, right? We know matzah is two ingredients, flour and water. So they're going to add the water to the flour. At that point, the stopwatch starts. The moment you add the water, you have 18 minutes or bust. So there, they're going to have to make that into a dough. Once they have it as a dough, then they knead it. And the kneading has to be made lishma. And similarly, the baking has to be done lishma. Those are the four steps. So we see between these two Shulchan Aruchs, ideally, everything should be done. We'll see, lishma. For sure, the latter two steps are things that should be done lishma. But again, if need be, there is room, the Mishnah Berurah talks to us about hiring Gentiles and having a Jew stand there and sort of, he'll be the das. He'll say, L'shem Matzos Mitzvah, and make that work.
What is the planting of the grain?
The planting of the grains. No, that doesn't. It's interesting, right? Okay, right? I don't want to get into the whole Gebrucks and all these, yeah, funny things. But the Pashup Shad is the issue of grain becoming chametz. We only worry about from the time of the harvesting. Now, let me, even the language of the Mechaber, and that was Tov. Tov l'shamram. It's good to watch it. Right? Good, it sounds like this is the l'chachila. So if you look at the Chavetz Chaim in the Bir HaLacha, he writes, V'das aprichadosh v'achria deshimer mishas ksira midinahu. Watching it from the time you harvest it is a chiyav, it's midin. Ulikuva v'afil b'di'eved k'tvarav. Even b'di'eved, according to some poskim, if it's not shmira, it's not watched from the time of the harvesting, then that would be a problem. Now,
question.
Yes.
And what's the difference between shmura matzah and regular matzah?
Okay, I'm going to talk about that in a moment.
18.
Yes. Now they bring here at the end of this Bir Hagra, Bir Halacha, that the Gra is also machmer on matzah shmura from Shas Ktzira, and not only that, not just for the matzahs of the Seder, but for all matzahs that he would eat on Pesach. Now, let's pull back for a minute. And what is this din, ushmartem es matzos? You're supposed to watch the matzos. Now, really, there's two major opinions of this you find in Nachronim. What's the reason for this mitzvah? The mitzvah is ushmartem es matzos. You should watch the matzah. And we're talking about potentially watching matzah all the way from the time of the harvesting through the baking of the matzah. You think about it. I was talking about this case. I've noticed, where do they get the grain from? Satmar matzah bakeries get their grain is grown in
Arizona.
Good call. How'd you know that?
I saw a video on it.
Yes, Satmar, which obviously was responsible for, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, right? They get their matzah, their grain, in Arizona. The Rebbe goes out there and who knows what. In the summer, they cut the grain. Now, what happens, how does the grain get from Arizona to Williamsburg?
Truck,
right? That's what I tell people. There's a little chassidish guy sitting in the back of the truck. Right? Right? There's not so much room. They have lots of grain. But seriously, right? Yeah, if they're watching Mishat Sira, so yeah, then you're going to need that transport. For transporting it from there, it has to be watched. Now, what does watching mean? So the simplest idea that we don't understand, the reason to watch is to make sure there's no chametz. Now, that itself is hard to understand because you tell me this pasuk, Torah wrote a pasuk, Ushmartem es ha-matzos. You should watch your matzos. Why are you supposed to watch your matzos so it doesn't get chametz? Of course, I can't eat anything that's chametz on Pesach. That's what the Torah says. Thou shalt not eat chametz. What's special about your matzos? You should watch your matzos from chametz. I have to watch my everything from chametz. Dafka my matzah? So there are those that insist, no, this is a din for shmirah for matzah. And it's just a higher standard. For everything else, you can rely on chazakas and rovs, all different halachic mediums to assume there's no chametz.
There's no mitzvah to eat any other item specifically.
Okay, good. That's a very good point. True. But you can't eat anything. That it says it's not the positive, it's the negative. Thou shalt not eat chametz.
I understand that, but they'll say, or you have to eat matzah.
True, true. Now, I'm going to expand on that in a second.
Those are different levels, because you have, they'll say it, or you have to eat it. The rest of Yom Tov, you don't have to eat it, but you get a mitzvah if you do eat it.
Right, right. So the classic understanding is this is just a higher standard when it comes to the matzah that we eat, more maybe than other products. Other products, I could assume there's no chametz if I have the halachic factors in there, but when it comes to chametz, that's not enough. When it comes to matzah, there you need an actively watch that there's no chametz on that. That's one idea. The other idea has nothing to do with chametz. The other idea that Acharonim say, the reason why you watch the matzahs is, I can't describe it without another word. It's a lamdish adin. The idea is, it's an ingredient, right? If I eat matzah, you know, okay, maybe now some people have a minute not to eat matzah at this point in the year. But technically, you eat matzah all year round. Is there a difference between the matzah you have all year round and the one you have now? The answer is yeah, it's triple the price, right?
So a few years ago, we had kavana.
Not for Passover.
Right, not for Passover.
So a few years ago, it was flour, water, and kavana. Now you're telling me it's flour, water, kavana, and shmirah.
Yes, this shmirah, this kavana, is what makes it into matzos mitzvah. You need that kavana to make that matzos mitzvah. Without that kavana, it's lacking that. So the first idea was the reason why you have this shmirah by matzah is just an extra stringency. You watch it, make sure there's no chametz there. The second idea has nothing with that, nothing to do with that. It's not from chametz. In order to make this matzah that you could eat at the Seder, it has to be something that you fully are able to watch, and therefore you transform that halachically into matzah by the Seder. Yes?
I've heard there is a minhag to dafka by the matzah as early as possible, just so that you can be mekayem at home, not just somebody being doing shmirah on the matzah while it's up until it's made and sealed.
That's a very interesting thing. I'm going to get back to that in a moment. I'll get back to that in a moment. But, so these are two ideas. The second idea, for sure, would be limited only to matzahs by the Seder. Pashtas. Right? This is shmartem es ha-matzos. The matzahs are being yotzei the mitzvah of the Seder. Unless you extend, like you're saying, well, every matzah I eat, according to a gra, is a mitzvah. So then maybe every matzah needs a standard. Maybe. But that seemingly is a stretch. Pashut Shah, you would only need that second idea only for matzah's mitzvah. I saw Rav Moshe Feinstein use this explanation to explain in halacha we see when do you for sure need this lishma for the latter two stages, the lisha and the afia. You may not need this lishma, right? We said b'di'evad, the mechaber himself says, if you don't have that person sitting in the back of the truck watching from Mishas Ktzira and onward, right? The Mechaber himself says, Shas Tchak, that's okay. So why? Teretz says those first two stages are the shimer, the watching, it shouldn't become chametz. Okay, if you have it in vats, they're sealed in vats, and you know it's sealed. Okay, no water's falling on them. You know it's not chametz. So what more do you need? But if it's a second idea, you need to transform this into matzos mitzvah, that might only take effect by the later stages when it's already a dough. You're kneading a dough. You're baking a dough. So that item, you're transforming into matzah. By the grain, when it's in the earlier stages, you're not doing that. That's why specifically those stages need the active das of a person. Yes?
Is there any stage after the matzah has been completely made?
So I'm,
when I bring
yes,
it home to my house,
very good point. I'm going to get to that. That's a second. Excellent. So it comes out, and if you look, Harvey, look in your label. Next time you see the Shmur Matzah, it should say, if you're getting your money's worth, it should say Shmura Mishas Katsira. Shmur Matzah from the time of the harvesting. That's what you want. You're paying the big bucks for, right? If some guy sells it to you, you get seen in a dark, you know, alleyway. And sells you cheap shmur matzah. Oh, I got half the price. Yeah, because it's only...
It fell off the truck.
Right, it fell off the truck, you know. Right? They weren't watching it on the truck. Exactly the point.
The matzah are the guy. Mm-hmm.
So don't go for the, you know, the fake matzah.
Some Puerto Rican trucks sell you matzah.
Regarding the non-Jewish workers.
Yes.
With machine matzah.
Oh, so, I'm,
so how are the...
Okay,
so are
I'm going to try to get the machine matzah in a second. Okay, hold on 1 second. I'm going to try to get...
The guy there, too. So.
Excellent point. In fact, the argument you made is actually made by great people throughout the ages. Hold on. But let me do one more step here within hand matzahs before I press a button and we'll go to machine. But...
Where does Costco fall?
The matzah you buy in Costco? So I'm going to get to that in a second. Listen to this. There's a very interesting halacha which most people don't know of. Look at Shmuel Kamenetsky quotes this on the bottom. In fact, there's a footnote there I still can't get over. Shmuel Kamenetsky, you know, his Talmud wrote a whole sefer on the halachas of Pesach. And one of the chapters is about baking matzah. There's a little footnote he has there that there's so many intricate halachas about baking matzahs. Instead of writing a sefer just on Hilchos Pesach, it deserves its own separate sefer on the baking of matzahs. And the author says he hopes one day to produce that sefer just on the baking of matzah. No any none other halachas on of Pesach, just the halachas of baking matzahs. So there's a lot to talk about. A lot to do. But here's a halacha, which is not so well known. It's best for a person himself to be involved in the baking of his matzahs. Right? We know, okay, yeah, there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. Okay, and if I pay, you know, some kids, some Andrew Jacksons, right, I'll get my sukkah built. And the Jew's doing it, he's putting up the schach, l'shma, right? I have to clean my car for Pesach. Oh, there are some businesses. I could advertise all these things, right? When it comes to matzah, it's not that way. All those other things you view, there's a hechsher for a mitzvah. Okay, so you know what? I do it, someone else does it. Matzah baking is not a hechsher mitzvah. Matzah baking is a mitzvah itself. And really that is part of the idea why you find there are groups of people that rent out a matzah bakery. They're called the chabura. Usually they'll go in the first baking of the day. They'll bake their matzahs. And then they'll turn over the bakery to everybody else. We don't really have that yet in Florida.
We have people from Florida that go out and do that.
Well, right.
Rabbi Ben Zucker used to go to Brooklyn.
Right.
My pleasure goes up also.
Right, right. People do this.
Relying on Rabbi
Welch. Oh, so I'm going to get to that in a second. Now, why does one, what's the milo of baking your own matzahs? So most people do it. The briskers do it for all their chumras. Somebody told me, Rabbi Schlissel recently, one of their bame went to New York and was going to go to the matzah bakery in Lakewood. And they were going to let him in, but then they sort of told him, they didn't want him taking in guys to the matzah bakery. He says, there's way too many chumras going on over here. Like, it's better you don't see it. I hope it's just chumras, not kulas. That's why they didn't want him to see it. But sometimes chumras can lead to kulas.
It's like but, a sausage factory.
I've never been in one of those, but yeah. You never know what's going on. Sometimes it's better. Yeah, if you go into the kitchen, you can testify to this. If you go into the kitchen, sometimes you don't want to eat what comes out of it. So yeah, I don't know. But there is, most people think of going to a matzah bakery to bake matzah with their chumras their way. But there's a more basic reason to go bake matzahs. It's because there's a mitzvah of baking matzahs. If you buy your matzahs off the shelf in Costco, you don't get that mitzvah. But here's the chat.
That's not any different than going to any of the first store. That's not any different than going to a Jewish store either.
Correct, correct, right,
other
right.
Than giving
right.
To go.
If you go to your Jewish store and you spend $40, $50, $60 for your pound of matzah, right? Mamish, I got, you think, you know, you got the best esrog on the sukkahs and you got the best matzah. Your mom will spend $60 on a pound of matzah. But if you buy it off the shelf, you missed out on your mitzvah of baking matzah. Now, I'll give one perhaps exception to that. You mentioned before Rabbi Welcher's matzah. So this Rabbi Welcher, posik in Chavetz Chaim. So I believe, I wanted to call the Welcher family beforehand to confirm this. But you knew that for sure when you said that statement.
What?
That he does it for everyone. Okay, so I assume that, but the halacha is, as Shmuel brings this down, you could get matzah baked for you with shlichus. The same way that we know shlichus works for other things in the Torah. You get married with someone else being your shliach. If you're too nervous to say the words harei mekudeshesli, right? Whereas, you can have someone else do it for you. You just have to specify. It shouldn't be harei mekudeshesli. It's for Hari Avakadesh Yitzi. But
he decides that he wants to marry her.
Right, that the double cross shliach. We talk about that in Yeshiva. But the halacha is that you could use shlichos for the baking of matzahs. So that means even if you don't have your own personal chabura that you go in, but if you're part of a broader chabura, you know someone going to bake matzahs. Right? You know this rabbi's going to New York to bake matzahs. Great, Tom, do me a favor. Could you be my shliach? Could you bake some matzos for me? Right? Okay. You know, you have to make sure he brings back matzos for you. But he could be your shliach, and then you'd get the mitzvah of baking matzos. If you just buy off the shelf, which you have no connection to the people who bake the matzos, other than you're paying good money for it, that's not enough, and that wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. People here asked, after the matzah is baked, let's say I bring it to my house and I put it on the, you know, in a place free from chametz. I'm very careful with those matzahs. Or even better, right? Part of the shmartim of matzos, right? Let's say you're in the matzah bakery. One of the things they do after they're baked is they put it into like these metal like receptacles, and they have someone there looking at each matzah. One of the tricky things is, let's say it's folded over. So the fear of something's folded, so then it wasn't fully baked, and it could be chametz there. So they check the matzahs. That even though it's already after the matzah's baked, but it's part of the process of sifting out what the matzahs are, that's also a din of shmartim as a matzahs. Okay? But once it's baked and put in the box and brought to your house, there's no din of shmartim as a matzahs pashtas. That's what Rav Shmuel says. So, okay, could be some people have, you know, want to get it earlier, but Rav Shmuel says, really, the process ends in the matzah bakery. So if either A, you yourself get into the matzah bakery, or B, you hire someone to be your shliach to do that for you, appoint someone to be your shliach, that works. And I believe Rabbi Welcher works. So that is a great thing. Now, machine matzah. This deserves its own share, which is the quick explanation, which you definitely have based on the share, is if this whole thing is adding this component of das, of shmira, where do you have that when you press a button? Seemingly, it should be the same thing, the machine, as a guy doing it. And we said, ideally, a guy cannot do that. Elmai, you can have omen al gabov. So when I press the button, part of this Rav Yonason Steif 18-minute matzahs, they would have this shtick where it's automated, but like it stopped before each process, and the first little step was done manually each time. Okay, that added more, but there's, you know, there are major poskim. I didn't notice this till I looked this up. Manischewitz matzahs. Mr. Manischewitz wasn't a mister. It was a rabbi. He was actually a Talmud of Rabbi Sorrel Salanter. He's Manischewitz.
Started in Cincinnati, Ohio.
In what year?
Like 1880-something.
Not bad. Shh. We have historians
West
too.
History major.
Yes. Mr. Manischewitz, Rabbi Manischewitz, was the first one to bring machine matzahs here to America, but he did so with the blessing of his Rebbe, Rabbi Sorrel Salanter. He got the blessing of another fellow Talmud of Rabbi Sorrel Salanter, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, chief rabbi of New York. And as I say, the rest is history. So machine matzahs, yes, that, as long as that's within your halachic framework that's usable. Most people hold machine matzahs are good. Some people say they're even better than hand matzahs. The process is so efficient. There's less chance of chametz, okay? We have these lishma issues, but the poskim say that it's considered lishma when you have in mind when you press the button and start the process. I would add one other interesting thing. You have this sometimes. And this was mentioned before, but just spell out the ramifications. Do you eat bisli on Pesach? Bisli are, you know, for kids or your grandkids, super snacks. Huh?
It's gebrachs.
Ah, okay. So one element is, yeah, it might be gebrachs. It's okay. Let's say you eat gebrachs. Would you have, I specifically pick that as opposed to potato chips or something like that, corn. This is made out of grain, flour, bisli, right? So the idea is, if you're not makbid in shmur matzah, except for the Seder, then it's fine to eat bisli on Pesach. But if you're makbid, and the Mishnah Berurah brings this down, in Tof Nun Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, this one I didn't get onto the sheets, but it's the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Dalad. I'll read you his language. Kasrach ronim da'afta midina in sarach shimel l'shem matzah, rachel matzah shal laylos rishonos. Midin, you only need shmur matzah for the first nights. The rest of the nights, you could buy the cheaper matzahs, not shmur matzah. Avol l'shar yamim dai kishein behem shas chametz. It's good enough that it's not chametz. Yisrael kedoshim heim. Interesting language. Jews are holy. V'nagolasa shimur l'shem matzah. So the Chavetz Chaim is advocating for the idea that one should potentially have shmur matzah the entire yontif. So that would mean it's nogea many products. It's nogea bisli, it's nogea matzah meal, matzah farfel. All of these products that one would make in a kitchen, kenedalach, with matzah products, if you accept this chumrah, which the Mishnah Berurah is bringing down, then you would not eat any products not made with shmur matzah. Bisli is not made with shmur matzah.
Hold on.
Yes.
Okay. All of these items.
Yes.
Right, if you're eating them, not Leil Seder, you're not doing it as I'm eating matzah.
Correct.
I'm eating this food.
Good point.
That is kosher l'Pesach.
Yes.
And it's a food. It's not
yes.
matzah.
Yes.
But I mean, a lot of people believe this is not matzah. This is
right.
Food.
But the idea would be it's an ingredient, though. So as long as the matzah is in the ingredients, first of all, Leitzer, they had such a thing, right? Let's say you have a kugel that has mixed in matzah. So, yeah, that might be some form of kiyum of eating matzah. Eating matzah doesn't have to just be the round crackers when I lean to my left. Eating matzah is any type of matzah that your body consumes over 7 days of Pesach. You have matzah brine, matzah pizza, matzah this. That's all matzah. So any ingredient of matzah in this idea would need to be shmur matzah. Now, midin, you don't need that. You only need shmur matzah for the Seder.
Again, what I'm saying is,
it's
this product, and it happens to have name on it.
But if it has matzah, if it has shmur matzah, as if it has matzah, one of the ingredients, a matzah meal, matzah farfel, any type of matzah farfel is like the grindest to the smallest degree. But if it's not shmura, it wouldn't be a kiyum of this Mishnah Berurah. It's okay. You know, no one's telling you you have to be machmer in that. But yes, you could get shmura matzah meal. Obviously, it's double, triple the price. You could very rarely find around here in Florida matzah farfel, which is super ground. The trick, all you have to do is put it in a blender and chop it up. But have in mind, l'shem matzah smitz. Thank you very, very much. Right, we should make a song, Shem Matzah Smitzvah. Be'ez Hashem, next Sunday is Rabbi Sharfman's Yahrzeit. So I hope to have a shiur on the Haggadah, on the process, and the whole, on the Seder night, all about different things to do. Be'ez Hashem, next Sunday. Thank you very much. Hatzlachan, everyone's Pesach preparations. And thank you again for coming.